quest to conquer.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Round Table on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs. Hopper step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I'm very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A happy Thursday to you. Happy Masters Thursday to you here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana, Gary St. Jean with you for Warriors Roundtable, reminding you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. The Warriors 80 games down, 2 games to go. Game 80, a tough loss to take against the San Antonio Spurs. But first off, we want to let you know later on the show, we'll be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Warriors-Clippers game this Sunday afternoon, when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652. That's later on in the show. And if you want to talk Dubs with St. Nye, share your thoughts. That's 888-957-9570. So, St., obviously an absolutely gut-wrenching defeat to San Antonio last night for a number of reasons. You talked about the standings, the big lead they had. I mean, this is the second comeback win that San Antonio's had against Golden State this year. And the first one, if we remember, was the one that kind of started the downturn after the 12-3 start. It was Game 16 of the season, and San Antonio racing a 17-point second-half deficit. Last night, the Warriors were up 14 late in the third and couldn't hold on, dropping them, Saint, to 47-33.
Well, it was really a tough loss because you had a couple spurts where you went dry. You did play some very good ball. And one thing you have to understand about San Antonio, there's a tradition there, and they play the right way, and that's because of Greg Popovich, former Warrior assistant. Another team that has that identity about them is the Miami Heat. Now, neither one of them had the season that they wanted to have, but I promise you that they'll come out and compete. They're not just going to lay it down. And that was really evident last night with that team. With that said, you had some really cold spells shooting the ball, especially in the fourth quarter. They made a lot of threes, and the Warriors did not. And it was a very, very winnable game. I'm sure we're going to talk about the last play and what went on there. But you feel bad, but I'm not deflated. I'm going to explain why as we go on here. They can take care of business and win these two. They can get the six. And I just think that the teams that they could potentially play, yeah, they're not going to have home court. But I think the teams that they're going to play, they can beat.
Yeah, you know what? Like, the more I thought about this game last night and kind of the ramifications, like, it is unfortunate that, yes, the three seed is now out of question for Golden State. They mathematically cannot get there anymore. But I do feel good about Golden State avoiding the play-in. And are the number seven seed, if they do happen to be that way, I don't think that is the end of the world. I mean, Steve Kerr did just come on Willard and Dibbs and say it's not a death sentence. We saw the Lakers 2 years ago and the Heat 2 years ago both come out of the play-in to make it to either the conference finals or the NBA finals. But, of course, you don't want to play that extra game. Don't want to have those extra miles on your legs. And I do want to remind our fans that the Spurs did do this to Denver, basically same spot last year. It was game 81, not game 80. But they were down by 23 in the second half to the Denver Nuggets, and that really knocked them out of the number one seed. They came back to win that game. So the Spurs, even in trying season, Saint, they do have a knack of getting these kind of wins, at least the last couple of years.
You know, as an old coach, that was a message that you sent to your team. There are certain teams in the league, as I said before, don't look at the record. Just understand how they're going to compete and how they're going to try to play. And I think that was a vintage Spurs game.
Yeah, and I mean, the tendency might be for a fan to think, look, the Warriors had blown out Phoenix the night before. You get up 11-0 on San Antonio, you get the feeling like it's going to be another walk in the park. Obviously, it wasn't, because Harrison Barnes had an incredible shooting performance, hitting six threes, and of course hit the biggest three of the night. The incredibly difficult buzzer beater after it looked like intentionally fouling Draymond Green to let Golden State tie the game up. But Harrison Barnes, I mean, hats off to him. Steve Kerr loves him. He was a great Warrior for the first 4 years of his NBA career before he headed out to Dallas. But what a shot there from Harrison Barnes. And as soon as it put it up, I was helping out R.C. Davis and the radio crew last night. As soon as he put it up, I'm like, uh-oh, this thing might go in.
Kev, you know, I've spoken about this in the past. Harrison Barnes goes from Warriors to the Kings to the Spurs. And everywhere he's been, people go, wow, what a fantastic guy. And, you know, he has a ring. He was part of that that early culture of the Warriors winning. And I have so much respect for him off the court. I don't know if you read about he and his wife, what they did with a foundation down there for kids in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right.
No surprise to me. Now, let's talk about that last play. And I don't think the national guys do this enough. You have to know the seconds on the clock. And if it's less than 2.5, 3, there's only going to be one pass, and then you got to get a shot up. It's not like you take it from one side to the other side. So he does a very good job bodying to catch. What does that mean? He throws his right shoulder, because he was at the left elbow, throws that right into Jimmy Butler. Now, let me tell you what, that's hard to move, because Jimmy Butler's strong.
Yep.
And
indeed,
that allows him, he pushed him south so that he could pop north. He catches the ball, and now what does he do? The guy who entered, I think, was Castle. He could come off for a handoff, maybe one dribble and a shot. If he didn't like that and the guy was going over the top of the screen, he can let them go by, and then he turned to his right shoulder. And he's a righty, so that's not an easy shot to execute. And, you know, Jimmy had his hands up, did a good job there, and that thing might have hit the top of the roof at Chase. That thing was way up there, and in it goes for a swish. You know, it's a really tough loss, but you didn't lose the game on that one shot. There were a lot of happenings that went on earlier in the game that caused you to get in this predicament.
Yeah, and we're going to get into those happenings in a little bit, but first we're going to head out to the phone lines. Again, the number to call if you want to talk Dubs with Sane Knights, 888-957-9570. We head out to Jesse in Oakland. What's up, Jesse? Oh, I've just been told he has dropped, so we will not be talking to Jesse in Oakland. So Harrison Barnes fouls Draymond Green. Draymond hits the two free throws to tie the game up. I thought maybe Harrison thought that San Antonio was up 3 the way that foul was committed.
You know, I was sitting there watching and I'm saying, now he's too smart not to know time and score. Your veteran players always know time and score. Once in a while you get a brain lock. But for him to do that, I didn't know what the heck happened there, because that's just really not like him. Did you think he was off balance and maybe reached, or I couldn't tell.
I mean, the way I saw it, I mean, it didn't happen right in front of me, but like where I was sitting, it was like directly ahead of me.
Yeah.
I thought he was on balance, and I was a little confused, because when Draymond got fouled, you're like, ooh, where's this possession going? You got 3 seconds left. What's going to happen here? And it was a bailout foul, but Harrison Barnes more than made up for it. It quickly reminded me of this game in the G League once. And Santa Cruz is up three against the Idaho Stampede. Idaho, they're at the free throw line with one free throw to shoot with like 3 seconds left. They missed the free throw on purpose. And CJ Leslie, who I would put up as one of the 5 best players to not make the NBA in the last 10 to 15
Whoa.
Years,
All right.
offensive rebound put back, and time expires, and he starts celebrating. He thought he had tied the game up. It was a layup. They're down 3. And I was looking at him celebrate. He's pumping his fist. He's like stomping on the court. And then like after a few seconds, he realized, oh, wait, we lost. It reminded me of that. But Saint, do you have any stories of players having revenge games, quote unquote, against you? A guy that you used to coach?
I've got a great one.
All right, let's hear it.
Mitch Richmond traded to the Sacramento Kings. I'm coaching up there, and every single time we played the Warriors, we had some good fortune for quite a while there when the Warriors were really down. He just murdered Sprewell to the point where Sprewell wouldn't guard him. And he just kept looking over. It was Nelly, and you traded him, traded me, and all that kind of thing. I didn't have to say anything to him. I would bet that he averaged 35.
Wow.
In the games we played them. I'll tell you what, Mitch in his day, Michael Jordan said that he was the best two guard that he played against. When he was, boy, I'll tell you what, he was a great, great player. And you talk about sad, you know, when you're making a deal. You think about Luka last night, you think about going to another team. He was a guy that I would have said, oh, heck, he's going to be here as long as Mully and Timmy. He's going to be here like 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And bada boom, you know, it happens.
That's the way it goes. And like it was, correct me if I'm wrong, he did eventually get an NBA championship with the Lakers,
he did.
Right?
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
So
yeah,
I was
home down there in Calabasas.
Okay, yeah, I remember being happy. I'm not normally happy for the Lakers growing up. I was not the biggest Lakers fan, but I remember being happy that Mitch Richmond got his ring, though. I was 13-year-old Kevin was very, very upset that the Portland Trail Blazers did not hold on in game 7 of the Western Conference Finals in that series. But we got to take a quick break. Before we do, we want to remind you that Wu-Tang Forever, the final chapter with Run the Jewels, is coming to Chase Center on June 24th. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more on the loss to the Spurs. We'll be giving away a pair of tickets to that game against the Clippers on Sunday, and we'll take a look ahead to the Western Conference and what teams have left on their schedules, all that and more right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors basketball camp spring sessions are almost gone. Sign up today for our last week-long spring sessions in Newark and San Jose from April 21st through 25th. Visit gswacademy.com to register today. Well, it's time to give away those tickets to the Warriors-Clippers game Sunday afternoon. Call the contest line at 415-523-4652. If you are caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets. We'll announce the winner later on. This will be the last time we're doing this year for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. Unfortunately, not doing it for the playoffs, but Warriors-Clippers should be a pretty momentous game. So you'll want to check that out for sure. All right, going back to the loss to San Antonio last night, and there were a couple of problem areas for Golden State, Gary. The start of the second quarter and the start of the fourth quarter, also known as the non-Steph minutes, which had generally, Saint, been pretty good since the Jimmy Butler trade, but last night there were some issues.
Oh boy. Since Jimmy's arrived, you know, that's gone by the wayside. You know, the other thing that's gone by the wayside is free throw attempts, makes. You know, look at Jimmy's night last night. And just a lot of positives when you look at the breakdown of the games. But that game there, those were rough moments, and you point at those, and you say what was struggling, what was troubling us, and you know there's just teams now, you know, I watched them play Houston, teams now are really locking in on Steph and double teaming him with the length with Thompson. And then we saw them really challenging Jimmy. And they're saying, you know, Draymond, if you want to beat us from the outside, that's fine. Well, that puts some heat on Moody and Podzimski. And ever since Podzimski hurt his back, the guy's been amazing. There's a stat somewhere, the last 100 attempts, he's shooting about 50%. And And then that puts some heat on the bench. And you know, we talk about Kuminga. And, you know, you got to get some balance and some help in those different areas. And that came up short.
Yeah, so Curry was a plus 13 in 36 minutes and 35 seconds. That means Warriors lost by three. So they were minus 16 in 11 minutes and 25 seconds without him. So 40.1 seconds to go in the first quarter. The Warriors are up 13. By the time Steph returned with 8:14 left in the second quarter, we were tied at 35. 1 minute to go in the third quarter, it's 88-74 Golden State. By the time Steph returned, that lead was down to 4, 92-88. But the problem, Saint, they didn't just stop when Steph returned. It wasn't wave a magic wand, Steph's on the floor, and everything's all right. Like, they did kind of continue to bleed through, because if you remember, they got down 7 in the second quarter after Steph got on the floor. So it wasn't just Steph, but that was where the problems really started.
Well, they sure did. And, you know, you got maybe ill-advised shots or some live ball turnovers. The other team sees the ball go through the hoop a couple times, and they're feeling really good about themselves. And, you know, I'm going to say this. I don't think this is a pattern. I think it was one night, because over the last few weeks, boy, they played some consistent, real quality basketball. And it kind of reminds me of the old days. That's the best compliment I can give.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I think they're going to bounce back and play a couple good games here to close it out.
So I want to bring up a point that you talked about in the first segment. And you talked about, you know, hot shooting in the fourth quarter. What those runs did for San Antonio is it allowed them to stay in the game. And Tom Tolbert on radio on 95.7 last night, he said something to the extent of, you let a team hang around into the fourth quarter, you let variance come into play. And then Tim Roy had a funny quip. He's like, and we don't like variance. And Tom was like, no, we don't. And the variance was San Antonio went 7 for 10 from 3 in the fourth quarter, and the Warriors went 1 for 10 from 3. They were minus 18 behind the line in a single quarter. And in any single quarter, something like that can happen. These are NBA players.
Now, I don't know if variance is two syllables or three, but Tommy didn't have that in his bag when he was playing for us in the early 90s. I never heard him use that. I heard a lot of stuff about you know, Pop-Tarts and stuff like that, but never variance.
Yeah, maybe some four-letter words, but no three-syllable words.
He was good friends with Nelly's dog. Nelly's dog's name was Goldie.
Okay.
And Tommy and Goldie had a good thing going. They were pals. Whenever Tommy came in to get taped, you know, Nelly would have Goldie in there, and Tommy Abdenauer was taping ankles, and Goldie would just light up when she saw Tommy. And they were good pals.
So Goldie would be around the practice facility?
Oh, all the time. Nelly loved dogs. Okay. And this one here he brought all the time. And there might have been a time or two that there was a tinkle on the floor that somebody had to wipe up. I don't know who got that duty. But back in those days, we practiced at Alameda Junior College. And that floor was just laid over concrete. You talk about being hard. And these guys, they were just great guys with Mully and Mitch and Timmy and Manute and all those guys, Rod Higgins and Tommy. Never once you heard them complain. They were grateful to be in the NBA, and they played every day. And like I said, you know, Goldie has a warm spot in her heart about Tommy Tolbert.
I realize we're getting off track here a little bit, but I'm curious, since you mentioned Alameda Junior College, so when you were working with the Warriors, the practice facility in Oakland wasn't built?
No, nobody had a practice facility back then.
Okay.
And that's when we first came, we flew commercial. And when we started chartering, like in 90, I think, boy, oh boy, we were the cat's meow then. Holy mackerels, that was unbelievable.
Well,
you know, I told you the stories about Manute at the turnstile for the luggage. Did I tell you that one about
Manute? I don't think do tell.
Can I tell this one? It's kind of funny because it relates to San Antonio.
Okay.
So we played them, and they were solid. They weren't great. I think we beat them in the playoffs one year. I think it was David Robinson's rookie year. So, you know, we're getting up to take a commercial flight. So back then you had to take the first commercial flight out. So it was 7 a.m., so you get like a 5 o'clock bus. And Minute wasn't very pleasant then. And so some lady says to him, older lady said, Minute, sir, how tall are you? And he looks down. He said, I didn't ask you how fat you are.
Oh, man.
And Mully standing there, and I'm over on the side. I'm telling you, we were on our knees. We were laughing so hard. I mean, he was one of a kind. You could talk to any of the guys, and you could get stories. Oh, my God. He called the Mully Chalk because his skin was white as chalk. He called Mitch Hashem Da Allah because he looked like a guy in his tribe. I don't know if it was Steve Alford or Kevin Pritchard. One of those guys. And there was a senator from India. It must have been Alford. And he looked like, remember Dan Quayle? He ran for vice. He was vice president.
Yeah, the guy who misspelled potato, right?
That's right. That's him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he never called him by his name. He just called him Senator. We'd be in the game. Senator, pass the ball.
Man. Oh
God. The good old days.
Yeah, great Minute stories. Rest in peace, Minute Bull. But the loss to San Antonio, obviously we've talked about the things that went wrong. One thing that did go right, a great night from Jimmy Butler, and I thought this game kind of showed exactly why they traded for Jimmy, because he just, anytime something went wrong offensively, he just put his head down and get to the foul line. He shot 17 free throws last night.
You know what a gift that is, Kev, to be able to do that? He's playing slow, and the majority of the guys are playing fast, and he just takes what's given, and he has a knack to initiate contact, and the other guy is like reaching, or he goes for the armpit, or he up fakes. He's as good as we have in the league. You know, we used to talk about Harden, you know, what he would draw when guys would put their arm out trying to defend him on ball. And Jimmy Butler's just masterful. And I think he probably gets more joy out of setting up a teammate for a two or three than himself scoring. I just think that's all in his DNA, and it's all about winning.
Yeah, and he also went 2 of 2 from three last night, and I thought Tom Tolbert made another great point. Like, he's not the best three-point shooter, obviously, but Tolbert said that Jimmy has a great sense of when he needs to make a big shot or something like that, and I thought that was right on.
Well, you know, playoff Jimmy, he did that a couple times when he was in the finals. He's earned that reputation. He knows when it's called for. And he's not. And some guys, you know, late game, they're a little afraid. They'll move the ball along because they're not very comfortable taking the late game shot. That guy there, he'll take the shot or he'll make the play for you. You love coaching a guy like that. When you look in your huddle and you look in those guys' eyes and you say, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. And you look at that guy and you say, something good's going to happen. We get the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, he is going to be a huge comfort come postseason time, whether it starts in the play-in or if it starts as a top six seed. But I'm curious if you thought that some of the decision-making, Saint, could be attributed to fatigue. I mean, this was a back-to-back, but it was set up perfectly because the starters didn't play in the fourth quarter. We've seen it this year before where a season's kind of wear and tear has led to some bad decisions made on the court. There was that one game a few weeks ago after a recent Warriors loss where Steve Kerr said, we have to consider giving Steph a night off because his burden has just been too great lately, and he did get the next game off. But what do you think about some of the turnovers that happened down the stretch for Golden State?
You could put that in the equation. That's a factor, no doubt about it. It just makes me feel good to know that those guys wanted to play, that they did not want a night off. The Lakers had the same situation. They played OKC on Tuesday, and then they were going to go to Dallas on Wednesday, and they collectively said to JJ, no, we want to take another shot. at OKC. Well, they were even late in the third. And then they got popped after Luka got thrown out. But yeah. At this time of the year, your main guys, man, they know the importance of what's happening out there. They want to play. They want to compete. They want to win. So it may have been a factor, but you know what you say? I'm riding with those guys. You know, yeah. I love those guys. They're giving me everything they got.
I mean, Wednesday was loss number 33. Tuesday was win number 47. And, I mean, a lot of it was offset, or some of it at least, by the loss to San Antonio. But Tuesday night against Phoenix, that was exactly what Golden State needed. A comfortable win, give your starters time to rest, didn't have to play the fourth quarter at all.
What a mess down there. That's bad. I don't know what's going to happen down there. And I love the way the Warriors went about their business. You know, no sympathy. Let's go. We're going to take care of it. And that's the reward that you get to give your main guys this kind of rest. And it just perfect execution. And I remember a guy that said 48 or 49 was going to be a magic number.
Yeah.
And I think his first name was Kevin.
Yeah.
And they're going to go there and they're going to get to there.
Yeah, I said, like, I thought that 48 and 34 would be good enough for the sixth seed. It probably isn't from
That's
a Golden
amazing.
State perspective now. But I said, I thought that 49 and 33 was doable looking at the schedule.
That's
and
amazing.
It definitely is doable. Let's get into this, Saint. So, Warriors can't get up to third as we take a look at the Western Conference standings. Their best case scenario is fourth. That's a stretch because the Nuggets and Clippers would both need to lose their final two games because they don't have a tiebreaker. Now, Warriors do control a little bit of that because they host the Clippers in the last game of the regular season. But despite the loss, there is still a lot up for grabs over these final two games, Gary.
You're better at me than breaking all this down. I just think this is amazing what's going on. As you and I are talking, we're going to see the Grizzlies and the T-Wolves go at it. And boy, that's a big game
one.
For those two.
Yep.
And we'll talk about who they're playing the last couple games. But I do think those two teams are going to have a hard time getting up to six. It's not going to be an easy path. They're going to need some help up above them. And, you know, the Nuggets are motivated now with a coaching change. Rockets have locked in. I don't know who they're going to play. The team that's quietly just rolling is the Clippers.
Yes.
They have done a fantastic job. Really. I mean, I've never been a huge Harden guy, but he's done a terrific job at the point. They've really gone easy on Kawhi Leonard during the whole season. And he's rising to the occasion now. And what are you going to say about Zubac?
That guy, he's
been playing terrific. Somebody told me today that was a deal for Mike Muscala.
That was.
For cap purposes. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that guy, you know, and Shaq and all the big guys, they just keep on saying he's a top five center in the league.
Yeah.
Guy's done a great job. So, you know, I think it's just going to come down to OKC and the Rockets, and then those teams that the Warriors conceivably could have to play. We talked about that. I am not, you know, my boots aren't shaking. I think they can beat those teams even though they're not going to have home floor.
So, well, let's take a look at the remaining schedules to follow up on, you know, who the Warriors may or may not play in the first round. I'm going to look at 4 through 8 because the Warriors can't get to 3. So the Nuggets currently in 4th. They host Memphis tomorrow, and they're at Houston on Sunday.
Kev, I don't think Houston will play anybody.
Yeah, that's my worry there. Houston, they have no reason to play anybody there.
I totally agree with you. Okay, Clippers.
Clippers at Sacramento on Friday at the Warriors. And Sacramento needs that game to stay in 9th.
Yes, you're absolutely right. So those are going to be difficult games for the Clippers because you know the Warriors are going to want that game. Yeah, you hit it spot on. You know, Sacramento, they want to hang on to 9. You know, hope the Cowbells come out and hopefully they can beat Dallas even though they got Davis back.
But this right here, Saint, is why I'm not super concerned about the Warriors and the play-in. Because the Grizzlies host Minnesota tonight. They're at Denver on the back end of a back-to-back at altitude on Friday. And then they play a Dallas team on Sunday that's been playing better, that's got Anthony Davis back, that's got Derek Lively back. And Dallas still might need that game for the 9 seed.
So we should cheer for the Grizzlies to lose.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, tonight you want the Grizzlies to lose because Golden State has the tiebreaker with both Minnesota and Memphis. Oh. Memphis is at 32 losses and Minnesota's at 33 losses. The Warriors are at 33 losses. So you want those teams, like an extra Minnesota loss, if you're the Warriors and you're assuming you're winning your two games, an extra Minnesota loss doesn't really help you. You need Memphis to come back down to where you are.
And
Minnesota, let's be honest, if we look at their schedule, it is not exactly a tough one. Outside of tonight, they finish with Brooklyn at home on Friday and Utah at home on Sunday.
Well, if we say they win all three, is there a good chance they could get the six?
I don't know their tiebreaker scenario with the Clippers or anything like that.
Yeah.
I do know that these two teams are playing tonight, the Memphis and Minnesota. The Grizzlies are 2-0 against Minnesota this year, so the Grizzlies have the tiebreaker with Minnesota. So it's possible if they get to 49-33 for sure that they could get in to the sixth seed. They would need the Warriors to lose one, and they would need Memphis to lose another one to get a clean crack at number six. But if you're the Warriors, you're just thinking, all right, let's just win our two games.
Yeah.
And
that's
you just
all you can do, Kev.
Yeah.
That's what a coach is talking to his team about. Let's control what we can control. Let's win these two games. And you know what? Don't go to sleep on Portland. They've done a heck of a job up there.
They have.
The second half of the year, they got some athletes. They haven't been playing Grant. They haven't been playing Ayton. But those young guys that they have brought along, they got some wing players that are really scoring at a high level. Chauncey Billups done a good job up there.
No, he really has. We'll get into more of the Blazers in a little bit. But basically, if you're the Warriors, you need one Memphis loss and two Golden State wins, and you're in the play-in. And considering who Memphis has to play, I think it would be difficult for them to go 3-0, mainly because they have to play the Denver Nuggets on the back end of back-to-back, and perhaps the Nuggets are a little rejuvenated. I know you know Rick Adelman well. How well do you know David Adelman?
Just met him casually. My son Greg knows him really well. And chip off the old block. Just a really nice young guy and humble and a really a knowledgeable basketball guy. I think he's earned. And you know what? In today's world, you've got to be able to communicate and relate to guys. And I haven't met many assistant coaches that don't have good relationships with the players. And I think he's cultivated that as a long-term assistant there. And you know what? Crazy things have happened. If that guy does well and they, say, win a series, he may get the job. I know a lot of those assistant coaches. Popeye Jones is up there and Flip Saunders' son and a couple other guys. And it's a good staff. And I'm with you. They played a different game last night. It's usually all through Jokic, and they had like 30 assists, and I think he only had 10 or 11. So they really moved the ball, and they didn't play Westbrook much, which is telling. Then they played some other young guys, and they stepped up. So I think that's what we're going to be looking for.
Yeah, they went to Jalen Pickett a little more down the stretch, and he had a game icing three, basically put him up 12 in the final minute or so. But you said this before. We do have a couple minutes here before we got to go to our next break. That Saint, you take a look at the Western Conference, and you say you're not shaking in your boots looking at a potential first round opponent. What makes you say that?
Well, again, you're not. This isn't being typed into the Lakers office down there. I think the Warriors can go toe to toe with the Lakers, and I think they can go toe to toe with the Nuggets. I feel that, and I think those are the teams that are going to wind up 3 and 4, and it even could be the Clippers. But none of those guys are making. They don't make me feel like OKC does, and I wouldn't mind. I don't know who it's going to be, but if you wind up 7, I wouldn't mind playing the Rockets.
Yeah.
You know, I give them all the credit in the world. They got some young, terrific athletes, and they're physical, and they defend. They haven't proven any consistency to me from the outside or late game finishing.
Yeah, I mean, that 7-8 play-in game, whoever is in it, is going to feel just like, obviously the loser gets another track, but it's going to feel like a total do or die, because the reward is an inexperienced playoff team in Houston who's had a fantastic season. Ime Udoka has been great, but if you lose, your best case scenario is facing the Thunder in the first round, who are 66-14.
Not nice.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
No, that's not nice. I tell you what, they're a heck of a team. Now, that's a small market, and maybe they don't get enough praise, but that young guy's probably going to be the MVP.
Yep.
And Dagnall's done a great job. I told you he's a Massachusetts guy, so I'm a fan of his. And I love their depth. I love that Williams is healthy now as your number two guy. They've got two bigs. Kev, I don't know where they come up short. Do you think they're consistent enough? Two things, on perimeter shooting and rebounding.
Yeah, yes and yes, because you have Isaiah Hartenstein, who's an incredible rebounder. And like, if you bring a guy like Isaiah Joe off the bench, Lou Dort shooting like around 40% from three
this
year.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, so I think they're going to be good in those instances. But folks, be a part of history as the Golden State Valkyries take the court in their inaugural 2025 season presented by Kaiser Permanente. Single game tickets on sale now. Get your tickets now at Valkyries.com. They just went on sale yesterday, actually. All right, we're going to take another timeout. When we come back, looking ahead at Portland on Friday and the Clippers on Sunday, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the Valiant, 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors are in P-Town in Portland tomorrow to take on the Trailblazers. 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time here on 95.7 with Tim Roy on the call. And then the regular season finale presented by Chase Freedom Sunday against the Clippers. 12:30 start time. Games are either at 10 a.m. Pacific or 12:30 Pacific on Sunday. 12 p.m. on the air with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. And a shout out to Anna in Livermore, won those pair of tickets to the game against the Clippers on Sunday. Congrats to Anna in Livermore. All right, Saint, let's talk about those Portland Trailblazers who have gone 22-17 since the halfway point. That's who's up next for Golden State. I mean, look, I don't think many people expected them to get to 35 wins this year, which is where they're at 35-45.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great point, because, you know, Ayton, he's been an enigma to me, because he's physically very gifted and hurt a lot, and I don't know what goes on upstairs with him. And then Grant signed that long-term contract, and he was their best player a couple of years ago. Those guys haven't even been playing. And, you know, I'm really impressed with what they've done, and I think they'll come out and play hard. So you got to, you know, bring it, take care of business, understand what's going on. You know, Kev, that the guy they got from Memphis, how do you pronounce his name? Avdija?
Denny Avdija.
Well, that son of a gun.
Yeah.
What the heck did they give up to get that guy?
Denny, oh, I'm going to go to Real GM now.
That's a story right there.
The guy
quietly,
awesome.
That guy's played his tail off. You could argue he's been their best player, consistent-wise.
Yeah, so he was the number 9 overall pick by the Wizards in 2020.
Oh,
yeah, it was okay. The Wizards. He got traded there last July for Malcolm Brogdon, the draft rights to Bub Carrington, who was a lottery pick. Actually, Golden State's 2028 second round pick, a 2029 first, and a 2030 second. So,
well, there's a lot there. But boy, you know, you got to give up something to get something.
Yeah, I mean,
boy, he's impressive.
His last 15 games, how about this? 24.6 points, 10.5 rebounds, 5.2 assists on 50% from the field, 43 from three, 6.6 attempts per game, and 79% from the line.
Maybe that's why that GM got a new extension.
Yes, yeah, just got the extension, and yeah, well-deserved, because that was a heck of a trade.
Cool.
And Scoot Henderson, his counting numbers are down this year,
yeah,
but the efficiency is up significantly. He's up to 35% from three. He's playing fewer minutes, so that's one reason why his counting stats are down. And there's been real progress. If you talk to people in Portland or you listen to the national media that watches the Blazers, people really feel like Scoot Henderson's coming around.
Well, that's terrific. And it doesn't hurt to have your coach be a former point guard. And
a
point guard, and a guy that didn't walk right into stardom. He
yes.
bounced around. And so he's probably talking to this guy and say, hey, it's not a given that you just walk in there and play 30 minutes. And, you know, I hear he's a good kid. He's got a heck of a body. And you got to learn how to play the position. And I'm happy to hear he's making some progress.
You know, so Scoot Henderson was the number 3 pick who didn't have a great rookie year. Chauncey Billups was the number 3 overall pick as well,
yeah,
back in 1997. And I mean, maybe the first 4 years of his career, people were looking at Chauncey Billups as a bust. Like, we forget about it now because he was a finals MVP and a 5-time All-Star. It took him 9 years to make an All-Star team, though.
You talk about perseverance and believing in yourself. And along the way, you know, I'm sure he had a bunch of guys and saying, hey, you know, hang with it. It's going to come. And lo and behold, he gets to Detroit, and all of a sudden, you know, everything just clicks for him. It's really quite a story. And he's good guy. He's always been a good guy.
Nice, nice. Yeah, no, I loved watching him growing up. And Scoot, I just got to share this story because he was the first guy to do 2 years with G League Ignite, finish his high school career early. Like, he graduated high school, I think, 18 months early. So he's getting it done in the classroom. And he joined G League Ignite as a 17-year-old, playing the G League at 17 years old, and when he was still 17, he went into Kaiser Permanente Arena in Santa Cruz and dropped 31 on the C-Dubs.
Wow.
Drew Schiller and I saw that. Drew, the color commentator for Santa Cruz Warriors home games, we looked at each other. I'm like, this dude's the truth. And look, a 17-year-old putting up 31 against a G League team, you do not see that a lot, let me tell you that.
You make sure you give Drew my very best. He's a great guy.
Nah,
a lot of good fun times with him at NBC Sports.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome, awesome guy. So that's what's ahead for the Warriors on Friday, tomorrow. And for Portland, look, that's a team that, as you mentioned, they're going to want to play this out. They're, you know, it's last home stand of the season for them. They do wrap up with the Lakers at home on Sunday, so you know they're going to want to send their fans home happy. So certainly not a gimme, but that's one that if you're the Warriors, you feel like you should win for sure. So you go on to Sunday. The Clippers, you mentioned how well they've been playing. Saint try 16-3 over their last 19 games, and their last two losses to the Thunder by 2 and the Cavaliers by 5.
You know, I look at that team, Kev, and the sum is better than its individual parts. I think they bought into Ty Lue and Jeff Van Gundy. Everybody knows their roles, what's expected of them. They're feeling really good about themselves as a team. They defend really well. And I just have a lot of respect for what the Clippers have done this year. It's very, 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 very high performance.
Now, you've brought up a few times over the years your top five coaches in the NBA. Steve Kerr and Eric Spoelstra on there. I believe Ty Lue's in your top five, right?
Yes, he is. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, I'm a big, big fan. And, you know, when you hear it a lot from players, that tells you something. You know, you take somebody like LeBron, wealth of respect for him. And, you know, this guy here, this happens. Guys that were, I don't know, I'm going to say point guards. And maybe they weren't great players, but they were really students of the game. They know how to manage a game. They knew how to handle players and talking to them about, hey, you come off with this screen at this timing, and I'm going to get you the ball. And they were gritty and tough defending. You know, I look at him. Career with the Lakers, with playing for Phil Jackson, and then I look at a guy like Scottie Brooks, who's down there with the Lakers, and you know, same thing. Not a big time starter, but had a heck of a coaching career because they are just terrific guys, and they really could relate to the players and had a wealth of knowledge and just no surprise at all there.
Yeah, got a couple minutes left here. You were talking about Ivica Zubac a little bit earlier. I mean, coming in this year, he hadn't scored more than 11.7 points per game in a season. That was last year. It's up to 16.7 this year. And 12.6 rebounds, hadn't averaged 10 rebounds in a game any season in his career. 9.9 was his previous high. His playmaking is up, 2.7 assists per game. And a quick aside, R.C. Davis and I, this is 2016 Summer League, when he got drafted, as you do in Vegas, you get dinner at 1:30 a.m. We went to Cabo Wabo, and we ran into rookie Ivica Zubac. He was sitting with
one of his friends.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't, like, by run into him, I mean we saw him. We did not talk with him, but you know, he was out. We didn't want to bother him with his friends. But, yeah, we ran into him. Cabo Wabo, it's that outdoor Mexican restaurant on the Strip. Great food. And, 1:30 in the morning, hanging out.
You were going to tell me at that point that RC, you know, said, hey, come on over here. I'm going to post you up.
Yeah, R.C. Davis is the Khalid El Amin, he would let you know, of pickup basketball players. UConn point guard.
But I love it.
We got about 30 seconds left, Saint. Eventually, the Warriors have to beat the Clippers, right? They've lost six straight, and this is the one to get.
Yeah, this really is. And you know what? Get everything done. Do your old errands. Get to church. Get your lunch, get in front of the tube. This is going to be a great game to watch. I'm really excited. I love the way the league did this, lining all the games up at the same time so nobody's playing games with the sitting guys out and whatever. That's going to be a great game.
It really is. Well, that'll do it for us tonight, folks. Big thank you to Marika Cleto and R.C. Davis on the Warrior side of things. Lucas Alexander, Bart Grandy helping out behind the glass. For Saint, I'm Kevin. Talk to you next time, folks. Thanks for tuning in right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Steph, left wing three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.